Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. Our guest today is somebody who I've been following for a very, very long time, and you probably have too as a financial services professional in the financial industry here in the States. Her name is Veronica Dagger. Now, Veronica Dagger is a Wall Street Journal Wealth Advisor reporter and the host of her own podcast, Watching Your Wealth podcast. Now, you can find this everywhere, iTunes, Stitcher, on the Wall Street Journal site, well, pretty much everywhere. If you just type in Watching Your Wealth podcast, you're going to be able to find it. Also, we're going to put that link to her podcast in the show notes. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by Advisor Content X. So, Veronica, thank you so much for coming on our podcast today.
Thanks for having me, Matt. It's great to be here.
Well, and I'm so glad that you're on the other side of the mic, because every time you call me and you're like, hey, Matt, I'd like to talk to you about a couple of things, like my heart starts beating. And so
you can put me in the hot seat. Revenge.
No, it's not revenge.
Don't
it's
on me. It,
yeah, I'll do my best. So I want to talk to you today a lot about working with somebody like you. Like, not all of the advisors who listen to this have had the opportunity to do public relations training or media training. So I want to pick your brain about a couple of those things. And the first question that I have is, what are the biggest mistakes that you've seen advisors make when you're interviewing them?
Good question. There are a few. And I have to say, many of the advisors I work with are very good and have done a great job. So I want to put that out there first. But in terms of some of the mistakes, one of the first mistakes is, and I feel for advisors on this one, because it's not so easy given the regulatory culture we're in. But one big mistake is being so scared of the press that they don't want to say anything. Now, I know compliance, especially in certain shops, really has their thumb on the advisors, and the advisor is afraid to say anything either way that would be helpful to a reporter. But I find if you are in that situation, if you are one of those advisors and you can't say anything, don't get on the phone. Don't get on the phone with me and say you're going to help me with a story idea and just not give me anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that can be tricky otherwise. You know, I mean, there's other options you can do. You can talk on background or off the record. But if you want to be quoted directly, you know, don't get on a call and not be helpful. So that's one thing.
Okay.
Another thing is there's some really great services out there from NAPFA and the FPA where you can basically as a reporter, I can submit a press request. So I can ask all the advisors out there for their tips or advice on a certain subject. Say, you know, how do you keep New Year's resolutions was a recent story that I did. And I get a lot of great information, great quotes from advisors that way. Excellent information, but there's always a certain amount of advisors, very small percent, that write back to those press requests with no information. They'll again say, you know, I can help you, email me, call me, I'd be happy to help you. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, all of their peers, most of their peers are writing back with a specific answer to the question. They already, in that next email to me, they're already providing help. They're providing anecdotes. They're giving their advice. So, in other words, don't create more work for yourselves than the reporter. I think it saves time. If you're going to be helpful, just do that right away. Don't waste extra steps and extra emails and phone calls and all that. That's sort of another peeve.
Well, you guys are wicked busy and you guys have deadlines, right? And that's one of the things I don't think advisors truly understand. When you're putting a request out like that, you probably have to get that done quickly because it's news, right? And the basis of the word news is new. It's supposed to be, you know, I think a lot of advisors forget that. I remember when I went through my first PR training, the gentleman who took me through it, that was the first thing that he said. And it was like the sky opened up on knowledge to me. I was like, okay, I totally get this now. This makes a lot more sense. All right. So make sure that when you are putting something out, that you're answering back with the information that the reporter already wants. So that's your second one. And your first one is, please don't get on unless you're really able and willing to go ahead and share content. What are some of the other big mistakes that you have found that advisors make?
not being specific enough. So I always love specific examples that define, you know, explain what you mean, give colorful anecdotes to make that story sing. A pet peeve is when someone is just very vague, just trying to, and they get offended if you ask for clarification. That's mm-hmm. another one. If you ask, you know, too many follow-up questions, they may get a little impatient with you. Well, if you're being vague and not specific, it's not going to help anyone. It's not going to help you get quoted, and it's not going to help my editors understand what we're taught and our readers understand what we're talking about.
Sure.
So being too vague is another one. I think that also leads into, and fortunately, many of the advisors I work with have been trained away from doing this, but there's still a certain amount of people out there that speak in industry jargon. And, you know, it's like, I know you're smart. I know you've got the credentials. I know maybe you're used to dropping industry terms or the buzzwords. But that just, again, it's too vague. It's boring. It makes everyone's jobs more difficult, because I'm going to have to go back to you and be like, well, what exactly do you mean? And my readers and your potential clients, because I guess the goal is to get clients from some of the, you know, getting quoted
sure.
in the Wall Street Journal or what have you, they're not going to resonate with that. You're going to seem unapproachable if you speak to in jargon too much. So I recommend people just speak in plain English.
Well, I love that you're talking about being specific. One of the things that, in fact, I think you might have told me this the first time I was ever being interviewed by you. If you hear me typing, that's a good sign.
Right.
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 Because that way I'm giving you something that you're like, okay, ding, ding, ding. That's something that's good. I was trained too, and I'm glad that you brought up about don't get offended, because if you're asking me follow-up questions, I'm hoping you're digging deeper to get what you want. When working with somebody like you, it's about working with you. It's not about me. It's what can I do to make you end up quoting me, because really that's what we want, right? The big picture goal of being featured with somebody like you is massive exposure.
Right, right. Ideally, exactly. And I just want to go back to the typing thing. Even if sometimes I type, sometimes I don't type, mm-hmm. but and every reporter has their own style. So mm-hmm. don't get freaked out if they're taking notes
they
or don't taking
anything.
Notes, because
yeah.
some people do get a little nervous about that. But exactly about, you know, the goal is to be helpful to the reporter in a helpful but non-intrusive way.
Mm-hmm.
I think also related to this is just because you speak to someone in even if you help them multiple times with the same story and you think you've a really good chance of being quoted, there's still a chance that you may not be mm-hmm. quoted. And I know that's difficult for a lot of people to understand. And there's multiple reasons for that. You know, we speak to a lot of people. A lot of people give us ideas. Someone, one of your competitors may mm-hmm. have said it better.
Mm-hmm.
They may have had a better anecdote. And then there's a lot of factors very often, which is more often the case, that are really out of our control. We think we're going to have a certain amount of space, but then we end up having to deliver a much shorter story. So even maybe I there's a chance I might have loved what you said, mm-hmm. but I don't have room for it in the story anymore because our word count got cut down. And that has nothing to do with you. It's just the way it is. And I didn't even know that was going to happen myself.
Mm-hmm.
And so... so it's a tricky situation, but I think what I try to do, if someone's been super helpful and one of those strange situations comes up where their stuff doesn't make it in when I really was really hoping it would, and it would have advanced the story, I try to really keep that in mind and, mm-hmm. and want to work with them in the future, because I do remember those people that were so helpful. So maybe you didn't get quoted in this story, but hopefully we can work together again in the future and something will come out of it.
You know, you've actually said that to me before, Matt, I'd like to pick your brain on a couple of things. That doesn't mean that you're going to be quoted. And one of the other people that we interviewed a gentleman from Investment News, and he said it's about building a relationship with the press. So, you know, one of the things that I try to do with your stuff, and it's not just to build a relationship with you, because I actually find your stuff valuable, is I like your stuff on social media. I share your stuff on social media, which
Thank
really
you.
Gets to our next question here, which is, if I want to get your attention, if I've got like this, I don't know, something that I believe is truly groundbreaking, how do I get your attention? Or even should I try to get your attention Help me with that. How do we get involved in building relationships with the press and providing you with good information without coming across as being pushy, arrogant, or anything like that?
Right. That's a good question. It's also a tough question, too. I would first read what I've written before, what any reporter has written before, what we've talked about on the podcast, because I can't tell you how many times some advisor has come to me and said, I've got this great new idea. And meanwhile, I wrote a story about it a month ago, or I covered it on the podcast a month ago. And for me, it's a bit frustrating when you hear that, because, well, why are you pitching me something that we already did? And if I did a survey of our newsroom, I would say the majority of reporters would say the exact same thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's one. So watch out for what's already been done already. I think it's really an individual basis. I keep calling us advisors. You can tell that's what I do all day.
Yes, that's right.
Some reporters want to want to operate over email. Some reporters want to have a text relationship. Some reporters want you to call them. It really depends on the reporter. So I think getting a sense of what works for that reporter is a case by case situation.
What about HARO? Help a reporter out.
You know, I've never used that one, or maybe I used it once years ago, and it wasn't very helpful.
Okay.
So if I'm going to do a blast like that, I'll go for the, NAPFA or FPA, have the good blast services. There's also, I realize this isn't something every advisor can afford, but there is a stable of public relations firms out there that work with advisors. And so I've got contacts with some of those folks, and sometimes they can weed out or sort of funnel some of that information from advisors they work with. So that is an option. I realize it's not an option for everyone. I'm trying to think how else people have stood out to me. Maybe I've met them at a conference or met them at an event, and we just stroke up a conversation, and I got to know a little bit about their business. I think people who can be available when we need that, if there's a Brexit situation or, a surprise, presidential election, victory, and people who can be available right away really stand out. People who can provide nice, colorful, detailed anecdotes that we haven't heard before are also going to stand out to us and help us build that relationship. I write for advisors, and I also write for consumers. And so something that is always a huge help to me is if an advisor can offer up a consumer for me to speak to, an actual client. Those are the people that really stand out. If you can give me the name of a client who will talk to me about a certain subject, that will make a big impression on me, because I realize that's not always easy for you to do as an advisor. Sure. Not all clients are willing to talk, but if you do make that effort, that is something that's going to impress me.
Gotcha. Well, I want the listeners to know this. I've actually never met you in person. I've never met you in a conference. The way that you and I got connected was through social media. And so you had posted something on social media right after my first book came out. And I had, I guess, said something that was good. And you were like, wow, that was actually a pretty nice response there. And so that's how we, and that was 5 years ago. Right. And so and my goal has always been, and I think everybody who's listening's goal should be, and I joke about being camera ready, but you should be camera ready. And I'm not necessarily saying that you're going to be videotaped, but you need to be ready to go. If you're going to put yourself out there to journalists, it's at their time that is going to work for them to be able to call you. And then you need to be ready to go, which leads me to the next question here. I know you do a lot on camera, and you have done a lot on camera in the past. Please give our advisors some of the biggest things that you look for as a reporter, whether that's visually, auditorially, gesture-wise, when somebody's going to be on camera. What sort of hints can you give our audience on really nailing that?
Another good question. I think the biggest thing with this one is I'm looking for somebody who's conversational, who's just going to chat with me. and it's very different from, especially in, we're such a web internet-based society, it's being on camera is very different from giving a presentation to a group of clients or at a conference. It's more being on camera and, or going on a podcast. It's a lot more personal. It's a lot more one-on-one. So I want to feel like you're the only one you're talking, I'm the only one you're talking to right at that moment. Mm-hmm. Again, someone who doesn't use industry jargon, someone who's specific, relaxed, friendly. Speak to me like we're friends, like we know each other, mm-hmm. rather than don't present to me is the big takeaway. Don't present, just chat, just talk. Let's have a chat. And also realize that you're never going to have enough time to say everything you want to say. This is a big challenge.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. This is a big challenge for me, especially when I'm a guest on a show, is there's so much I want to say and there's so much I'm so excited about and I've learned and I want to tell you it all. But the fact is we probably only have 2, 3, maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's no way you can say it all. And coming to peace with that and being okay with that, it is probably a big challenge for some advisors who know a lot and are very smart and want to show that off.
Wonderful.
Another thing is don't brag about your degrees. We all know you have, you know, probably CFPs or,
sure.
you know, a whole bunch of other things. And that comes off really awkward on camera as well. Think in sound bites. So if you
Now I'm really, really glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Break down what that means exactly, because I hear reporters and people in the PR world say that, Matt, think in sound bites. But how do I do that?
That's hard, right? Short, concise statements that really summarize what you want to do. One exercise that has helped me is think of your three top points that you want to make to me in this interview and go over them. Just, you know, three bullet points ahead of time. You don't have to have a full sentence written out, but think of those three points and have them be triggers for you and then practice with that ahead of time before you come on camera. Mm-hmm. That's one way to do it. I'm a member of Toastmasters, and Toastmasters has this program, the whole education program. But one of the things we do in our meetings is this exercise called Table Topics, where it is just that. You are given a quick topic, you know, impromptu, and then you have to respond to it within like 2 minutes and come up with a concise answer. And for me, that's helped me a lot, practice that skill in a practical way, in an easy way.
So three bullet points, practice ahead of time. So I'm just going to highlight the little nuggets there. I love the practice ahead of time. One of the gentlemen who I've worked with, a guy named Jason Lajita, which I think you know, Jason.
Yeah.
He said you use the three sentence rule. So don't say more than three sentences in a row without making sure that the reporter is actually following you, right? So if you're waxing philosophical and you're 12 minutes into a tirade, a soliloquy that's, you know, longer than a Shakespeare sonnet, you know, just try to keep it short. And that was a really helpful thing to me too. So I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to highlight those two things. What else should people know when they're on camera?
Oh, sure. Another thing is, and this can be difficult because this is somewhat countercultural or contrary to what you're taught in finance, but being on camera, it's all about big energy. It's all about being you plus. So it's you plus a bit more energy, a bit more enthusiasm, because the thing is the camera, you know, I think there's some sort of equation, but it being in front of the camera, it cuts the energy by about 50%. And so knowing that, you have to get a lot more energetic and enthusiastic to make up for that deficit. So it's you just a little bit more pumped up. And it may seem odd or fake to you, but it doesn't come off that way to the viewer. It comes off as someone who's excited to be there.
Interesting.
So that
I've never,
would be another
I've
tip.
Never heard that before. Huh?
Yeah, often when I'm on, you know, I appear on Fox Business a fair amount, and you'll hear the producers say, you know, big energy. We want big energy. And that's something to think about.
Hmm. So what is the last, final thoughts here? What else is something that our listeners should know either about being interviewed, pitching a story, maintaining a relationship, being on camera? Just what are your final thoughts here? If you could give anybody just that one nugget and say, you know what, if you only remember this one thing from the podcast today, here is the gold.
Wow. I would say, like anything, persistence can come in handy. Just because someone, a reporter, isn't able to work with you on one story down the road, and it may be months, it may be years, you might have a chance to work with that person. So I would say, don't stalk a reporter, but at the same time, like anything, it's almost, I would imagine it's similar to pursuing a prospect, and it takes a while sometimes to build that relationship. It takes a while to get connected to that person. And the same holds true when someone's working with a reporter. So have that healthy persistence. Don't stalk, but enjoy the process.
Fantastic. Well, Veronica, thank you very, very much for your time today.
My pleasure.
And everybody, we were talking to Veronica Dagger, a Wall Street Journal wealth advisor reporter and host of Watching Your Wealth podcast. Today's top advisor marketing podcast is brought to you by AdvisorContentX.com. As always, where you talk and we create up to 40 pieces of unique content and we share it for you. So, Veronica, once again, thank you for your time today.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
And we'll see you on the other side of the mic.